This time we're going to be looking at living as a believer in today's world. And you might say, why do I say alien? Because I use the New American Standard. The New American Standard says it is written to the aliens and the strangers. And the New International says it's written to the, my screen went blank. I don't know if I did it. It's written to the exiles. So, Sandra, did I do that? I'm back on again. That's all righty. I can preach without technology. This is that you can't see the words. But guys, as we are looking at the Word of God, we're looking at as believers needing to live in today's world, how we should live in today's world. Last week, we looked at the fact that our salvation calls for holy living in this world. Because Peter tells us, be holy, for I am holy. So today, there's 5 points that I'm going to look at. The need for continually be changing and growing. That's something that happens all the time. We're going to be looking at the metaphor of stones and priesthood. And listen, if you don't get it, that's fine with me. I just make everybody look at me and not the screen, and I know that's hard, but that's all righty. Then we're going to be looking at Peter's call for an excellent behavior. And it's a recurring theme throughout his book. Then we're going to be looking at Peter's call for submission. And then we're going to be looking at Christ's example. So let's pray. Father, as we look at your word today, Father, we thank you that your word is living and sharper than any two-edged sword. And your word goes forth, Lord, mightily. And so, Father, today, help us to learn a great deal. And may the Spirit of God be our teacher. Well, so now I can push my button a lot. Last week, like I said, we looked at our salvation calls for holy living in this world. And I want to start with where I ended last week. And this was my takeaway from last week. It was a challenge to go and live as an alien in Muswellbrook and the world, not to alienate yourself from people, but to draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ as they see your holy behavior. We need to be the honey that attracts the bears. We were talking about bears earlier in camping, or attracts the bees. We need to be the pollen that attracts the bees. We need to be living our Christian life in such a way that we draw people to us. And this is Peter's theme over and over and over again. And he starts in chapter 2. I want to read chapter 1, verse 25 first. It says, "But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you," chapter 2, verse 1, "therefore putting aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all slander." Peter starts with that challenge that we need to continually be changing and growing in this world. Last week he told us to be holy. This week, he's going to give us some practical steps to be holy. In verse 1, he's going to give us some negative traits that we're to put aside. So Peter starts with the negative. He says, put away all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and slander. And he's talking to us, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, as you, and it's the word therefore is there, linking it. And remember, Peter did not write in chapter and verses. He wrote a long letter. We put chapter and verses in there, and in Peter, that kind of messes up. The word therefore goes back to what he was saying lastly. Because of the word of God, and because of the love we are to have for the brethren, therefore Because if you look in chapter 2, the last couple of verses in chapter 2, it talks about we are commanded to love the brethren and to do things for them. And then he says, therefore, because we're to love one another, put away these five negative things. Malice is the intention or desire to cause harm. Deceit is the quality of being dishonest or misleading. Hypocrisy. Huh, what's the church known for? Being full of hypocrites. You hear that all the time. Peter tells us to put it away. Put it aside. Take it off. For hypocrisy is behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe. And he's calling us for excellent behavior. Envy is that resentful longing aroused by somebody else's qualities or possessions, where you look at what others have. And then slander. And he's telling Christians to put away these things. Slander is that act of communicating false statements about someone that injures their old reputation. And I don't know about you, but the old me, my flesh, likes to lift its ugly head. It likes my heart likes to go after what I want to do. So the question is, how do I stop it? How do I stop the old man from reaching out there and stepping in its old ways? Well, Peter tells us. He tells us what not to do. Then he's going to tell us what to do. We need to long for the pure milk of the Word of God as newborn babes. Long for the pure milk of the Word that you may grow in it in respect to salvation if you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you've heard me preach very often, you know I have a passion to get people into the Word of God. And because the more you read the Word of God, the more the Spirit of God can cause His words to change you. Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, shared this to His disciples. He says in John chapter 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Father, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. How can the Holy Spirit bring things to remembrance in our lives if we don't know the Word of God? We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be reading the Word of God. We need to be longing for the Word of God. Jesus goes on later that night in chapter 16, John writes this. Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. And for He will not speak of His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. It's interesting here that Jesus had more things He wanted to say to His disciples, but His disciples were not ready to hear it. So He had to hold back. You know, and there's times when we read the Word of God, we're not quite ready to apply that principle. Those times when we read the Word of God, our lives are not prepared for something new that Jesus wants to teach us. But that's why we need to be reading it. That's why we can come to this book and we can read a verse, a chapter that we're very familiar with and see something new out of it. Because our hearts and our lives are prepared. And now the Holy Spirit can help us to learn a new truth. This is why it's important to keep reading, studying, and learning and applying the Word of God. I found this quote. I don't have it up there. It's by Zig Ziglar. He was a motivational speaker who at the age of 41 came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He was raised in a Christian home, and his mother drove home scriptural principles, but he ignored them till he was 41, and he was a Southerner, and it was a black lady who led him to the Lord. But this is what he said. Repetition is the mother of all learning, the father of all actions, which makes it the architect of accomplishments. You know, the more we know the Word of God, the more the Holy Spirit can help us to grow. Guys, we need to constantly be changing and growing. I need to be constantly changing and growing. So do you. How do we do it? Put away the negative. Do the positive. To be in the Word of God. And then Peter's going to use some a metaphor of stones and priesthood. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in here, but just very quickly, he uses a metaphor of a stone for the life of Jesus Christ. A couple of things he says. He says, Christ is the living stone in verse 4, and coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by man, but is the choice and precious in the sight of God. Christ is the choice stone in verse 6. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone. Christ is a corner stone in verse 7. Precious value then for those who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected became the very corner stone. One more stone that Christ is. He's a stumbling stone in verse 8. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. What do you do with stones? You build buildings. And so what Peter is talking about, these stones here, he's referring to the temple, not the physical temple, but the spiritual temple, to the church. And Christ is, he's that living stone, choice stone, cornerstone. He's also a stumbling stone to those who choose not to believe. Let Christ be the stumbling stone, not us. But then Peter goes on to use the metaphor of a stone and a priesthood for us. In verse 5, he calls us a living stone. We come to him as a living stone. Stones aren't alive, but we are. And part of the church, we are to be alive, constantly changing. In verse 9, he moves the metaphor from a stone to a priesthood. He says that, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So why are we a living stone? Why are we a priesthood? Peter says that we may proclaim the excellencies of Jesus Christ. Peter is calling us to change. He's calling us to live differently. And then he's calling us to that excellent behavior. Verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers or exiles to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, but keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, that the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Once again, Peter's pointing out that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not our home. We are a guest here in the world. You're an alien. You're a stranger. You're an exile. Our home is in heaven. And just like when you invite a guest into your house, you have a certain expectation of behavior. God has a certain expectation of behavior for us. And the world has a certain expectation for us. And sometimes the world's expectation of a believer is a lot higher than ours. It is. So what does Peter say? He says, I asked the question, how do we handle the war that is in us? And you may say, what war? But you see what he says in verse 21? To abstain from the fleshly lust which war against your soul. How as strangers and pilgrims in this world, how do we handle that war? Because we're in constant battle with ourselves. This war, the old man, who wants to raise its ugly head and wants us to be slanderers, malice, deceitful, hypocrites. It's always raising its head. And how do we handle this? Well, Peter says to abstain. My definition is abstain, is to keep yourself from something that leaves a stain. For 20 years, we lived in St. Albans. And our water source was some bores down by the river, deep down in the sand, and we would pump it up to the top of the mountain and gravity feed the property. And the water would come out of the bore pretty clear. But as the water hit the oxygen, the iron would oxidize from it. And we would run it through a sand filter, and majority of the time, it was kind of clean. Until there was a break in the pipe, or until, you know, the sand filter didn't work, or they had to back flush it. And if you happen to be doing laundry, when you got this rush of dirty water, well, we put a lot of rain tanks in, not for drinking. Actually, our bore water is pretty good to drink, but to wash clothes. So I used to have this set of clothes that was for town and preaching that were white, T-shirts that were white. I had shirts that were white. And then I had our camp clothes. See, the clothes that you washed in the water there would always be stained. We need to stay away from things that will leave a mark in our lives. But why is this excellent behavior that Peter is calling us to important? He says here in verse 12, so that the thing which they slander you as evildoers, they may, by your good deeds, observe them and glorify God in the day of visitation. Now, how many people has driven down a highway, saw a policeman doing a radar, and what's the first thing you do? You either panic or you check your speed. And you say, phew, I have no trouble. Some people panic anyway. But guys, we should never fear speed cameras, red light cameras. Now, I've been done by cameras, guys. I'm not perfect. But what Peter is saying here, we are to live our lives in such a way that when somebody wants to slander us, they can't find anything wrong. I often tell people, let your integrity defend you. And so Peter is telling us as strangers, aliens in this world, to live in such a way that nobody can say anything bad about us. Why? Look what it says here. It says, so that in the day of visitation. Now, there's a couple different debates about what that means. But many people believe the day that God visits them with salvation. You see that? We are to live our lives in such a way that they can't find anything wrong. And they have to look at us and say, wow, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I want to be one. Have you ever had anybody ask you, why are you different in this world? Peter wants us to live in such a way that we draw people to Jesus Christ, not chase them away. We are not to be the offenders. We are to be the attraction to people. Well, Peter's going to go on and he's going to tell us another way, a couple ways of doing this. He's going to, and this goes against the grain, he's going to call us to submission. We see Peter's call to submission. First, to our authority. Verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether as to a king, as one in authority, or to governors that are sent to him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the foolish of ignorant men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. The word submit here means to put yourselves under the authority of a leader. It's a military word. I'm sure you heard it before. We are simply to allow somebody else to lead. If we didn't have leaders, we'd be a riot. In Hong Kong, have you been watching the news? There was riots going on. And finally, they gave in. The yellow shirts in France. You remember seeing that a few months ago where people were just rioting. And you have chaos. When Peter's here, he's telling us to submit for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to the kings or to the one in authority. And I bet you there's somebody here thinking, what if the authority tells me to do something wrong? Excuse me. We'll deal with that at another time. But right now, Peter is saying God has put the government, the police officers, the governors, the kings above us for a reason. He's put authority above us for a reason. And he tells us what their role is, the government authorities, to punish us for those who break the law and to praise those who do right. I got thinking about that. Does our government praise those who do right? Well, my license was a lot cheaper this year because I don't have any demerit points. Now, it wasn't cheaper last year because I had one. I had to wait a year. On Queen's birthday, how many honors was given out? So our government does step back a little bit and honor and praise some people when it's due. But they're also there for those who break the law. And God sets that up. But why should we be submitting? Why should we be submitting to the authorities? Look at verse 15. For such is the will of God. First reason, it's God's will for us to submit to authorities. This is the will of God for you. This is the will of God, that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Submitting allows us to authority. Submitting allows us to silence the fools. And by doing right allows our light to shine that much brighter. But you, and I think Peter expected people to say this, but you might say, but I'm a free man. I have my rights. Yes. We may have rights, but we're told to put ourselves under the authority, to give up our rights. You may demand your right with your neighbor, but they may lose their soul. What's more important? Remember, this is what Peter's driving home, that we can live as a Christian that attracts people. So be careful how you ask for your rights. Then he moves on. He's still calling for submission. He moves on to slaves to masters. He says, servants, verse 18, be submissive to your masters in all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor for the sake of consciousness towards God, if a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if you sin when you are harshly treated and you endure it with patience? But if you do what is right and suffer for it and patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Now, we don't have slaves today. Now, when Peter was writing this, a good part of the church would have been slaves. It was easy to sell yourself. You were sold into slavery. It was easy I think some kid turned on a phone. And mom, don't you love it when I embarrass people? Well, that's all righty. Everybody else is looking anyway. I'm never going to be forgiven. Please forgive. So we don't have slaves, and we could say this is our employer. But I think it's more than that. I asked the question, what is the principle we can find in this verse for others? I think the principle here, we are to treat people with respect. Slaves, servants, were to be submissive to their masters with all respect, whether they were good or bad. So the question, these people could be your employer. Do you respect your employer, your workmate, your neighbor, your mother-in-law, church members, the store clerk, waiters, waitresses, children and teens? And I think we could go on and on and on and on with this list. Peter wants us to treat with respect other people, whether they deserve it or not. This is what he says here to the servants. He says, not only to those who are good and gentle, but to those who are unreasonable. Can you think of an unreasonable person in your life that you come across? Peter wants us to treat them with respect. Why? Because submitting finds favor with God. For verse 19, for this finds favor. If for the sake of conscience toward God that a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. You might say, it's not fair. I can have my rights. But Peter says it finds favor for God. When you do what is right and suffer for it, and you patiently endure it, this finds favor for God. Now, Peter's going to continue this theme of submission in chapter 3, verse 1. What does chapter 3, verse 1 say, ladies? Wives, be submissive to your husband. But put it into context. Because there wasn't a chapter break and verse. Now I'm glad Daryl has to preach on it and not me. But the whole reason that he wants us to submit is so that we can win people for Christ. He's telling all of us to submit to our authorities. Now he's telling slaves, which we don't have many slaves here, to submit to their masters. So we're applying the principle here that we are to respect all people, even if they're unrespectful to us, because this finds favor to God. And remember, the whole theme is bringing people to Christ, living as an alien in Muscle Brook. Then he's going to move on and he's going to talk about Christ as our example. So he does a little break in here before he gets to chapter 3. And he says, let me show you the example of a submitter. First off, he starts off in verse 21. For you have been called for this purpose. What have we been called to? Well, guys, we have been called to an excellent behavior. Chapter 1, verse 15. But like the Holy One who called you to be holy, you also have been holy in all your conduct. First thing we've been called to be holy in our conduct. We have been called out of darkness so that we may proclaim Christ. Chapter 2, verse 9b. So that you may proclaim the excellence of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we have been called to suffer correctly. Verse 21, for this you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. We have been called of God for all the injustices that we may suffer at the hands of this world. Because Christ set the example on suffering unjustly. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. It's talking about Christ when he was on trial. Innocent. Totally. No sin in his life. But he stood there and he took it and he took it and he took it to the point of death. He didn't revile when they were nailing the nails into his hands and into his feet. He suffered unjustly for us. So why did he suffer? Verse 24, and he bore our sins in his body so that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. And we know that. Christ died to pay a price that we could not pay. He paid our debt for our sins. And what Peter is writing to us, he's our example. And he's done this that we might live to righteousness, that we might live as an alien in this world, that we may be holy in all our conduct, that we may long for the pure word of the God, so that we will constantly be changing. And he suffered for us so that we would learn to submit. And submission is not a good thing. We don't like that. But this is what he's called us for. So what's my takeaway for you today? As I challenge you to be living as a believer in today's world, this is what I challenge you to do. Dive deep into the Word of God. And allow the Spirit of God to teach you biblical principles. The biblical principles that you need to be a lighthouse attracting to Jesus Christ, attracting others to Jesus Christ through you. Peter's writing to aliens, and he's challenging us to live like it, so that we would live such a way that will bring others to him. How do we do it? Dive into the Word of God. And what you read today, you may not need. But someday, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance. And he'll use his truths to guide you into all truth. If we in our church could live in such a way that it's people are coming to us and saying, how can I be a Christian? We could double the size of our church. But that's what Peter's calling us to do. To live the message so that others come to know Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word. And we would pray that you would use your word in our lives and the Spirit of God would continually to teach us. Father, often our sinful self likes to raise its head. But I would pray for myself and those here that we would defeat ourselves and we would apply your principles. May our neighbors, our friends, the store clerk, the people that we work with, Father, the people that we meet day to day, see the difference in us. Because we're applying your word. Thank you once again that we can come into your house to worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And the music team's going to come on up and have one more song.